Good morning. It is Find Your Phone Friday, 12 minutes after 6. It'll be 13 soon enough, all right? Join the conversation at 770-5633-770-KMED. By the way, my email is bill@billmyershow.com. Read them all and try to answer it when I have time. A lot of times you might see an answer late Friday night as I'm sitting drinking heavily in front of the tube. Well, there's no tube anymore. It's called TV. The flat screen. You know, that kind of thing with a laptop and, you know, answering and then drinking heavily of Pappy Van Winkle or whatever. No, I don't have any of that stuff either. Sometimes, though, I feel like drinking heavily. Have you ever felt like learning to drink more heavily in today's culture? It's all right. It's all right. I completely understand. But you can talk with me about it if you wish. Rick Manning joins me with the D.C. Swamp Update, and we'll have to delve into everything all D.C. Certainly do that. Kind of got a bunch of mean girl politics going on. I have to tell you a bit about that. It's the exchange going on. We'll have to do this. Looking at some of our top headlines here nationally, the New York Times just broke the news that as Russia advances, NATO considers sending trainers into Ukraine. Trainers into Ukraine. Now, any Vietnam veterans listening this morning, you know, trainers into Ukraine, doesn't that sound suspiciously like all the early 1960s sending advisors into Vietnam? There couldn't be any downside to doing this, do you think? Vietnam veterans, I would appreciate getting your opinion on NATO, which means the United States, essentially sending trainers into Ukraine. Even the New York Times accurately notes that the move could draw the United States and Europe more directly into the war. The Biden administration continues to say there will be no American troops on the ground. Do you believe that? We're going to send trainers, but there will... That's all right. We'll just show them how to... I don't know. I shouldn't be so cynical. I mean, because after all, the finest elite that the world has ever known are in charge. We know that, right? But we can talk about it if you wish, 770-5633. And any Vietnam veterans, if you remember hearing maybe similar statements being made by various government officials, well, we're just sending advisors over to... Well, we're not going to be doing that much more than that, just sending advisors, just a few advisors to help out, you know, communism, domino theory, et cetera, et cetera. I often wonder what Vietnam veterans think about having gone there and served honorably and, you know, gone into that hellhole. And then you turn it over to the commies anyway. It just seems kind of weird. And I can't help but see think that we're seeing something like this play out. But, you know, I'm one of those guys that Mitch McConnell would hate. Speaking of that, Mitch McConnell, I think I have a story about Mitch McConnell. Let me see if I can find this. Yeah, the turtle was actually in the news. Ah, here it is. Here it is. Punch bowl. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell opened a new front in his battle to shape the Trump-era GOP this week when he torched Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban and called out Republicans who have sought to boost the far-right strongman. McConnell's making clear that he isn't finished trying to blunt what he sees as a dangerous foreign policy doctrine taking hold in the Republican Party under Donald Trump. McConnell took to the Senate floor yesterday to deliver a forceful rebuke of members of his own party who have fawned over Orban, though without mentioning Trump by name, of course. Hungary is a European Union and NATO member, which complicates the dynamic even further. But McConnell pleading with pro-Orban conservatives in the GOP to cut it out, citing Orban's open hostility to the Western alliance and his deference to U.S. adversaries like China, Russia, and Iran. Essentially, the turtle, I think, is really upset that more and more conservatives are starting to speak up in Congress, in which they just don't. I mean, essentially, what Mitch McConnell is that he is the typical. Remember when I was talking about those kind of Republicans that seem to be extruded out of the Play-Doh political fun factory? You stick the globalist clay into the Play-Doh fun factory and you push it down and comes out of the little Play-Doh Fun Factory. And there it is, in which you write hot checks to every foreign country that you want to consider a, an ally. That you, well, they're our greatest ally ever. And so you have to send them lots of hot checks and military-industrial complex contracts and all these other sort of things. And you're out there trying to defend all their battles at the same time that it's you can't do anything to to stop the invasion on our own borders. And for you to notice that, well, you're just not the right kind of conservative. You can't do it. We need to send more Republicans to Washington D.C. and then we can talk about the American border. Yeah, that's Mitch, and Mitch hasn't changed. That's just the way this goes. Locally, interesting story here. Danielle Craig from Providence sent me a story overnight here, and this has to do with 11th-hour bargaining. This is the 11th bargaining session with the Oregon Nurses Association. You know, there's been this this battle between the nurses and Prov. Today, Providence Medford is seriously offering market competitive wages to that end. Providence, wow, this is the latest proposal. The latest proposal, Providence is offering a wage proposal with an average increase of 22% for their nurses in the first year. Wow. I've never had a 22. I don't think I've ever had more than maybe a 3% raise in my life. A 3%, it would call the cost of living or whatever it is. But 22% raise in the first year. This means it would work out to raises between 10. The raises for Providence nurses. I just want to make sure you understand this. What Providence is offering is a raise for their nurses of $10.39 and $12.92 an hour. That's the raise. That means a second-year nurse working full-time would make more than $100,000 a year, and that's before any shift differentials or bonuses. And Providence says, we're eager to hear ONA's response and hope to find an agreement on a contract for our nurses. So it is looking like it is a very good time to be a Providence nurse in this battle with the Oregon Nurses Association. I'm sure then with the nurses getting a 22% pay raise this year, assuming that they accept it, I mean, who knows if this is what they're going to accept or not, I'm sure that is going to keep our medical costs down. I don't know if this story is connected. The next one here, so we have a 22% raise on the table for nurses. It probably won't be enough. How dare Providence abuse the Oregon Nurses Association? I can already hear it coming back. You know how unions are. All unions pretty much the same. You know, if they said 22%, we're worth at least 42% or something, and maybe they are. But 100,000K for a second-year nurse. Wow. Now, I don't know if this kind of a story is connected with the second medical story I have here. Wall Street Journal reporting today, hospitals are refusing to do surgery unless you pay in full first. This could be because, we just had to give our nurses a, 22% raise or something like that, right? Could you see that? And we can't let it float any longer. But in all seriousness, they were talking with a patient, Heather Mycone. 7 weeks to come up with $2,000 to pay for surgery your daughter needs to breathe more easily. This was a surgery center in Merritt Island, Florida. And they billed Mycone in advance of the adenoid and tonsil surgery. And if she can't pay for the surgery before it was scheduled to take place, the procedure will be put off. I guess insurance wouldn't cover the cost because she has a high deductible. That's like most of us if you have private insurance. She works three jobs and doesn't have the savings to cover the cost. And anyway, she's trying to do a GoFundMe. This is a growing trend, apparently. Now, emergency surgery, the hospitals and places like that, they'll take you in. Normally, they'll float the bill and try to collect it. But apparently, what Wall Street Journal is reporting is that there is so much bad debt. And I would also imagine a whole lot of illegal aliens that are getting treated that, they're not paying either. That if you're actually a legal American citizen trying to get something like that done, you better have big savings. And Or else a good GoFundMe profile, I guess. All right. What is our other? Oh, we have even more medical news this morning. Two more medical stories. So we have 22% raises on the table for Prov. We have hospitals refusing to do surgeries unless you pay upfront in full. Now, if you're dying, they'll still treat you when you come in. But, you know, if you come in, you need your tonsils, your adenoids taken out or whatever it is, hey, you're going to pay upfront. Better pay up. But this is from Oregon Health Authority. And, oh, my goodness, you know how much I love the bureaucracy of the Oregon Health Authority. Non-medical vaccine exemptions for kindergartners hits record high. But OHA finds that most Oregon parents, guardians, still choose to immunize their kids. The schools are now reporting the highest rate ever for kids, for students claiming non-medical exemptions from the state's school vaccination requirements. This according to a new OHA data. Statewide, 8.8% of kindergartens had, kindergartners rather, let me start this again. 8.8% of kindergartners had a non-medical exemption for one or more required vaccines. So this is about one out of every 12, out of every 12 kindergartners. So more and more parents are opting out of the vaccines. It was 8.1% in 2023 and 6.9% in 2022. So every year for the last few years, the number of people opting out of kindergarten vaccines has been rising pretty dramatically rate. And Oregon Health Authority, of course, doesn't understand why people are doing this because, as she says, Stacey DeAsis-Matthews, immunization school law coordinator at the Oregon Immunization Program, said the best defense against vaccine-preventable disease is a well-immunized community, which also protects children who cannot be immunized because of age or medical condition. Of course, the one thing that Oregon Health Authority will never cop to is that many parents have become somewhat jaded over the vaccinations and the claims from OHA and the claims from CDC. It all comes down to continuing to say safe and effective. Do I need to explain any longer? Yeah, safe and effective. Safe and effective. You can trust us. We're the professionals, backed up by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and paid off by Big Pharma. This is the Bill Myers Show. I hope your day's going okay. How about a beignet? Let's do a beignet. We need a beignet. Let's do that right now.
Rise and shine with another ultimate breakfast experience from Artisan Bakery Cafe. You'll be wowed once again with their fresh-baked croissant sandwiches. Fresh-baked flaky croissants layered with your choice of ham and cheese, turkey pesto, bacon and egg, or sausage and egg. A breakfast sensation sure to give your day a jump start. Wait, there's more. Fresh-baked bagel sandwiches toasted with cream cheese, bacon, egg, and cheddar. Order online at DoorDash or visit 1325 Center Drive across from South Fred Meyer.
When the IRS comes knocking, the news can be shocking. Tell them you've hired a CPA tax expert at First Response Resolution, located in Eagle Point. Leave speaking with the IRS to Zach. He'll defend your rights as a taxpayer. Visit FirstResponseIRS.com today for a free consultation.
Joel here at Butler Ford and Truck Center, and here's the deal people keep asking about. When will we have more F-150s, the payment of only $445 a month? The answer is right now. Lease a 2024 Ford F-150 crew cab for only $445 a month. Work, tow, play, haul in a new Ford F-150 for only $445 a month at Butler Ford. Nobody knows how to make a lease deal work on a Ford truck like Butler Ford. That's why businesses and individuals have been coming to us for years when they want a new truck at a low payment, like $445 a month on a Ford F-150 crew cab. Whew, I'm running out of time in this ad, but call and ask about the low lease payments we're having on our new Ford Escapes. Remember, Butler says yes to bigger discounts and rebates. Butler says yes to giving you more for your trade. And Butler says yes to $445 a month on a Ford F-150. Butler Ford and Truck Center, just 12 short minutes south of Medford, right off of exit 19, where we've got your truck, your SUV, your certified pre-owned, hybrid, and electric vehicle.
36 monthly lease payments at 7,500 miles per year with 7,500 cash or trade due at signing, excluding tax, license, title, and 250 dealer dock fee on vehicle cap cost of $42,884. On approved finance through Ford Credit. Offer expires 6/3/24.
If you're going on a spring road trip, click on the travel report on KMED.com. We have changing road conditions, road cams, and gas prices throughout the region.
Be prepared with a travel report on KMED.com. Sponsored by Lithia Body and Paint on Bullock Road in Medford.
Pure Talk, my sponsor and my wireless company, are now providing international roaming to over 50 countries. Now, as you plan your summer travel, make sure that your wireless company covers you at home and abroad. Now you can get unlimited talk and text, plenty of 5G data for just $20 a month. That's less than half the price of Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile for the exact same service. Dial #250, say the keyword save now. Do it now, you save an additional 50% off your first month. Make the switch to Pure Talk so you can afford to travel this summer.
Every business faces challenges, but complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping shouldn't be one of them.
With USPS Ground Advantage from the United States Postal Service, you can avoid all the noise.
No more unexpected surcharges, hidden fees, or complex rate structures.
It's just easy, cost-effective, and dependable shipping. Tune your business's frequency to success and turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
Hi, I'm Jolene from Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
629. By the way, if you just join me, Oregon Nurses Association, I guess, receiving an offer from Providence, the Providence health system, for a more than 22% raise for their nurses. And a second-year nurse could be making more than $100,000 a year. And this would be not even counting the bonuses and shift encouragements, you know, all those kind of things or whatever else would do that. So that's not too bad. That's not too bad. And I would imagine the nurses would probably feel pretty good about that. I guess we'll see what the nurses' union has to say about that. And yet at the same time, you know, when I was telling you about what it's like being in the emergency rooms, when I've taken my mom into the emergency room over the last couple of years, you go into either Asante or Providence, and sometimes it's kind of like you are in the third world of raving, screaming lunatics at some point. I don't know, maybe $100,000 a year isn't enough to have to put up with that. Sometimes I wonder how they manage. I mean, I would look at some of these nurses that are dealing with, especially the raving lunatic homeless that that come in and just want to scream, and I would see this scream, cry, I want more drugs. You know, you hear these kind of things, and you know, I would be have great difficulty just keeping calm, but they always do. They always do. And I would be, on the other hand, wanting to say, you know, I'm just going to haul back and slap you upside the head. Okay, what is wrong with you? All right, one of the big things about you being addicted to fentanyl is that, you know, this is not a good thing. Not a good thing. You need to get off this, and you need to ask for help or something. I don't know. I know it's a really, really tough thing. But we'll see where this goes with Prof. Still, $100,000 a year plus for a second year nurse, and so I guess as you get more experienced, wow, could be doing pretty well. Go out there and become a nurse. Might be a pretty good deal. Speaking of the fentanyl crisis, since I just kind of mentioned that, I just got a confirmation. Got it. I'm going to have a CEO entrepreneur. I know he's the guy that did Wimkin's social media and Date on the Right. He's done a lot of social media kind of stuff. But he has just come up with a new fentanyl test that just goes on a card, like a little dip card. You just dip it into something or whatever it is, and you get results in less than 5 minutes. And I guess it's some cheaper way to figure out, you know, where the fentanyl is and how much it is. I'm going to talk with him about that. Jason Shepherd is his name, from Wimkin Social Media and Date on the Right. But I guess he's also an entrepreneur in the medical world here, too. I'm going to bring him in on Monday. I think it's kind of interesting. Because a lot of times the fentanyl stuff is about as dangerous as it gets. And now there are some other variations that are even more dangerous than the fentanyl we already have right now. So there we go. I'll keep you up on that on Monday's show. All right. Who do we have coming up besides Rick Manning, president of Americans for Limited Government? We'll have the D.C. Swamp Update next. Mr. Outdoors will also be joining me at 7:10. State Senator Brian Boqvist. I've never had the pleasure of interviewing him on my show, but he'll be joining me after the 7:30 news break. And we're going to talk about politics, and he has some choice words on some of the political races that have been going on. I always find that pretty interesting. We'll see what he has to say. And what else? What else do we have coming up? Oh, yes. Josephine County Commissioner Herman Berchigel will rejoin the show after 8 o'clock. And we're going to talk about the history of Boatnik and the wonderful charities and nonprofits and ways that it ends up helping to serve the community. We got about a week to go, actually a week to go before Boatnik's going to open up for Memorial Day weekend. This is the Bill Myers Show.
I'm Rick Dyer, Jackson County Commissioner. I've known Randy Sparacino for over 10 years, and I've watched Randy as a leader, as the chief of police for Medford and as Medford mayor, and worked with him on several issues that I know are important to the residents of Jackson County, and I trust his leadership. I'm Rick Dyer, and I support Randy Sparacino for Jackson County Commissioner.
Vote Randy Sparacino for Jackson County Commissioner. Paid for by Sparacino for Oregon, ID 20676.
If you have an Alexa device, you can listen to great news and talk anytime by first asking Alexa, enable KMED. After enabling the skill, you can listen to the most popular talk personalities like Bill Meyer and Lars Larson, plus local news and weather 24 hours a day by just asking her to play KMED. Alexa streaming on KMED is made possible by Megan McPherson at Farmers Insurance, Father and Son Jewelry, and Pacific Healthcare Training.
News sponsored by Caveman Heating and Air. It's the climate, and we control it. Call Caveman Heating and Air at 541-476-0009 or cavemanheating.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. Attorney General Merrick Garland has run afoul of Congress. Two congressional committees in the House voting to advance contempt proceedings against the Attorney General over his refusal to turn over audio recordings of President Biden's interview with Special Counsel Robert Hur, the Republican National Committee asking, what is the president afraid of? Former President Trump will get to attend his son Barron's high school graduation ceremony after all. Mr. Trump's trial in New York stands in recess until Monday. The trial could see closing arguments come as early as Tuesday. Stay put. The advice of Houston's mayor, advising people to stay home following severe storms that caused widespread destruction, power outages, along with at least four fatalities. The streets of downtown Houston littered with broken glass and other debris. More details, SRNNews.com.
It is 6:34, and we have Tom from Talent. Tom, you wanted to weigh in on that talk about the 22%, maybe close to a 23% pay raise is proposed now for Providence nurses, rather. They could be making more than $100,000 a year in the second year, and this would be like a raise right away. What are you thinking about that?
Well, you know, what I was thinking is we don't really know the true rate of inflation. You have the shadow stats and so forth.
Yeah.
So do we have a 3% inflation rate, or do we have a 30% inflation rate? You know, it's really nearly impossible. So it got me to wondering, what is the real pay raise they're getting? It may not be as quite so outrageous as you sound when you compare it to the real inflation rates. So.
Yeah, Tom, you better shut up right now. You got to shut up right now because nobody else out there is getting talked about getting 20 and 30% pay raises out there. And so pretty soon you end up having a civil war, you know, over that. Hey, wait a minute. If the nurses are getting $100,000, I should be getting $70,000 to work at McDonald's. I mean, you can see that would be the next thing coming. This is a dangerous place you're going, you know.
Yeah, it certainly is. Well, you know, this is just the end result of having a dishonest, disordered, monetary system that's just screwing people over all over the place. Because with a disordered monetary system, you can't really figure out if you're making a profit or you're actually losing. You know, may look
well. Yeah, you know, well, you know, you get a 3% bump in your Social Security. All of a sudden, it looks pretty slim when rent has gone up 0.5% a month for the last 3 years solid. Okay, in other words, you're not a believer in the flexible currency. I appreciate the call, Tom. I got to go though. All right. Rick Manning is standing by. It's D.C. Swamp Time. We got to talk mean girl politics and debates and so much more. And speaking of that inflation that Biden said, you know, Biden's out there. Hey, make my day, pal. You know, what is it? Why don't you love the low inflation I've been giving you when you open up your, let's say, your renewal for your car insurance and it's 20% or 25% up, or your home insurance went up 15%, 10%. 20% or more, or maybe you just got canceled, you know, because of rule changes. You need to talk with Steve Yancey at Sky Park Insurance. Sky Park Insurance is an independent insurance agent that works with many different companies. He saves our listeners so much money. And all you have to do is just call him for a quote, 261-5444, 261-5444. He'll go to work and put on his green eye shade thing or whatever they call those things, and he'll find a good deal for you. Or if you have the best deal, he'll tell you, hey, you got the best deal, and either way, you win, okay? SkyparkINS.com. Call 261-5444.
At Sky Park, we make insurance easy.
Appreciate you waking up mornings with me, 6 to 9 on KMED and KCMD. But I get it. Life can be busy. Sometimes you might miss a show or segment, or what did that guest say again? And that's when you can catch up and stay current with my podcast. The last 3 months of shows are available for free download and sharing on KMED.com. Podcasts are sponsored by Clouser Drilling, and they're online at ClouserDrilling.com. And thanks to Clouser, you can drill into what really happened on The Bill Myers Show on KMED.com. The Medford Rifle and Pistol Club's Gun Show is this weekend. It's a terrific selection of antique and modern firearms, including rifles and pistols, revolvers, knives, ammo, and accessories for sale. Sign up to win a door prize and ask about the club's free training classes for the general public, including their concealed weapon permit classes. The Medford Rifle and Pistol Club's Gun Show this weekend, Saturday 9 to 5, Sunday 9 to 3. Only $5 gets you into the best gun show both days. It's in the Blue Building on Byless Road, just west of Crater Lake Highway.
106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD, and this is the Bill Myers Show.
This is the craziest party that could ever be. Don't turn on lights, because I don't want to see Mama Tom.
The D.C. Swamp Update, Rick Manning, President of Americans for Limited Government, DailyTorch.com. Rick, it continues to get crazier and crazier and crazier. I have to play a little bit. Maybe you could explain to me what happened here, but it was mean girl politics on display at the hearings over Merrick Garland, that sort of thing. Here we go.
Do you know what we're here for? You know we're here about AG.
What's that, Rick?
What'd you say there?
I didn't say anything.
Oh, okay. I thought it was you, and it was actually the bite. Oh, here we go.
Do you know what we're here for? You know we're here about AG.
I don't think you know what you're here for.
Well, you're the one talking about. I
think your fake eyelashes are messing up.
No, ain't nothing.
Hold on.
Listen.
Order,
Mr. Chairman.
That's beneath even you.
Order of your committee.
Order.
Wow. Please. There's a point of order.
We have a point of order. Mr. Lynch, state your point.
Mr. Chairman, I would just like to ask the parliamentarian if your conduct here in raising money in connection with this hearing is referable to the Ethics Committee within this hearing. Is the motion in order to refer your conduct and your abuse of
It's process? Not a point of order.
Mr., I do
order.
Have a point of order, and I would like to move to take down Ms. Green's words.
Uh-oh.
That is absolutely unacceptable. How dare you attack the physical appearance of another person?
Are your feelings
hurt? Move her words down.
Oh, girl,
baby girl.
Oh, really?
Don't even play.
Baby girl,
we are going to move, and we're going to take your words down.
I second that motion.
Okay, AOC and MTG going at it. And I don't know. What was that all about anyway, Rick? Do you know? It was quite entertaining to listen to. But, to have AOC going off in the little shrieking thing is always entertaining to listen to.
It was about having a YouTube segment that people will look at and say, oh, she's really standing up and fighting, and probably in both cases.
Oh, in both cases. Because, so both sides of it. All right.
Because we now have, we've got YouTube politics. And mm-hmm. it's all about the, do you get a Facebook reel, you get a reel that's on TikTok that goes viral, because in today's world, that is real political currency. So that's what it's probably about.
Isn't that a little scary way to run the world, though, off of YouTube videos and TikTok?
Truthfully, it's no different than it's been for as long as they've had TV cameras hearing rooms.
All right.
It's just that we can
hear it more easily, I guess, is what you're saying now.
Right. That's the difference. You don't have ABC, NBC, CBS, whatever, still being your filter. So now, depending on where you might fit, If you're on the left, you're going to get fed a bunch of pictures of and headlines that say AOC takes down MTG, tells her what's what. And on the other hand, MTG stands up to Garland, asks him, does he even know what's going on? Okay, so it's a, so you know, but that doesn't mean it's wrong. Truthfully, none of your listeners would even know what happened in the hearing if not for that.
Now, let me ask, this is value. Okay, now this is a serious question here. Now, you may laugh at the premise I'm bringing up here. I have always wondered, and every time I see these kind of battles between like AOC and Marjorie Taylor Greene, I start wondering, are we seeing some version of the old vintage Looney Tune cartoon that had Ralph the sheepdog and Sam the wolf going after each other? They would come in the morning and they would punch the time clock. Do you remember this one? And then
I do.
Yeah, and then you know,
you and I may be the only ones to remember it, Bill.
And Ralph the sheepdog and Sam the wolf, they would spend the entire day just beating the crap out of each other as the wolf's trying to get the sheep and take the sheep away. And then Ralph sits there, hey, morning, Ralph, morning, Sam. And then at the end of the day, the whistle blows and they check out, we'll see you tomorrow. And I start wondering after a while if a lot of this is theater, and maybe they do kind of get along more than we think. I could be wrong, but I just wonder.
I don't think they get along at all.
Okay.
It's
real.
That's the case. That is the case in a lot of instances. In the Senate, for instance, Joe Biden's big competitive advantage in his first 2 years in the Senate, and truthfully, during the Trump impeachment, second Trump impeachment, first Trump impeachment, when Joe Biden's actions in Ukraine were at the heart of the entire impeachment, Joe Biden's relationship with Republican members of the Senate over, he'd been a member for 35, 40 years, basically made certain questions verboten and not allowed.
Oh, well, it's kind of like how Reagan and Tip O'Neill would go hang out and get drunk together, right?
Yeah, well, Reagan and Tip O'Neill were a little bit different in that Reagan didn't have a long relationship with Tip O'Neill. Reagan was able to make a rapid relationship with Tip O'Neill because they're both Irish.
Oh.
And they both had the same kind of personality. And so they got each other. And even though they were on different sides, they at least got each other, so they got along. In this particular case, in this particular case, there is absolutely no doubt that AOC does not like Marjorie Taylor Greene, and Marjorie Taylor Greene does not like AOC. A lot of it may be theater, but the vitriol is real.
That's good to know. All right, so at least we're seeing real drama rather than YouTube created drama. Yeah. You always wonder sometimes. It's kind of like,
They may all be scripted, but they're not acting.
Okay. There it is. You win the interwebs this week. You know, the violent rhetoric in Capitol Hill, it may be scripted, but the drama.
But they're not acting.
They're not acting. Okay, I like that. All right, so what should we really be playing or paying attention to? Because I noticed that the turtle, Mitch McConnell, ended up getting in the face of anybody who would be, thinking that, maybe a foreign policy isn't about us just writing hot checks to every foreign country that we claim to like to make sure that they defend their borders at the same time that we don't do anything about ours because it would be racist, to defend our borders while everybody else like Israel, Ukraine, everybody else, they need our border security and military much more than our own. What do you think about that? Did you see that talk? He was pretty much going after the right wing yesterday. Did you see that?
Once again, I didn't see it, but I'm not surprised by it because it's a continuation of a pattern for the last 3 years. The Mitch McConnell... two things flipped Mitch McConnell's switch. One, a long time ago, Ted Cruz got elected. Mike Lee was there. And they shut down the government trying to repeal Obamacare.
Which, by the way, was an honorable thing to do, try to repeal Obamacare.
Which was. Mitch McConnell then got, you know, loosed a number of senators to on the Republican side to talk about why that couldn't happen and all the you know, negative stuff and how, you know, give us a majority and we'll take it down and all that rhetoric. And we know what happened, okay? And then historically, you know, in 2016, Mitch McConnell said, we're going to rip it out root and branch. Mm-hmm. In 2017, he gave Murkowski and Collins a pass on voting for the modest repeal bill, which really didn't repeal, but made some modest changes. And then John McCain came back to town and told the majority leader, he was going to vote to repeal, and he came back and he voted against it, and messed everybody over, all because he hated Trump. So that was McConnell, because his power was really taken down by Cruz and Lee. At that point, he determined we will never allow another Ted Cruz to get elected. Okay, and if that means electing a Democrat instead, we'll elect a Democrat instead. That's how Claire McCaskill got another term when McConnell took down the Republican nominee, a guy named Representative Todd Aiken in Missouri. Hmm. You saw in Alabama, Judge Roy Moore would have won the Alabama special election to replace Jeff Sessions if not for McConnell opposing him.
That's really interesting. It seems to me
I'd rather have Doug Jones for 2 years than Roy Moore for 8.
That's really interesting. You know, Mitch McConnell, in other words, is the same kind of Republican that, you know, I would imagine Oregon's state legislature would like to have here, too. Right. You know, we go along, get along. It's more important that we have someone that's going to vote the way I want to vote. And you conservatives could just go to hell, I think.
He views the Tea Party movement and other, you know, kind of conservative movements that rise as being temporary fads that, you know, the Senate, the what Washington, George Washington called the cooling saucer of the government, mm-hmm. Will sit there and just kind of ride out and not take too seriously and basically pat us on the head and say, okay, well, thank you for your input, now go away.
In other words, the Uniparty. You know, I'm here. Yeah. I'm here helping out the Uniparty, just like the many of the people in Oregon. We're here running to take orders and help the Uniparty. Wow.
I'm going to give you an example right now of that. I mean, we can talk the Merrick Garland thing, and basically the Merrick Garland. I'll just give you that in a nutshell. Then we'll talk about the thing I want to talk about, which is Section 230. On the Merrick Garland thing, there's only what this does, what his refusal and to deal with a comply with a subpoena of the U.S. Congress, and Biden giving me executive privilege. What it does is it makes the third most important appointment that Donald Trump makes, should he be elected president, is the U.S. Attorney of the District of Columbia. Because that's the person who's going to actually file charges and go after Merrick Garland in court. And what we know will happen is there would be a court case. He'd be acquitted on the same charges for the same rationale, with the executive privilege being wiped out, and the same rationale. He'd be acquitted for the same rationale that Bannon and Navarro were convicted. Because of the jury, but at least he will have a trial. Okay, at least something will happen. So, and in the past, one of Trump's great mistakes, and the first one is his first administration, is he appointed the people who he was told to appoint for those positions, and that's how you got a guy like Rod Rosenstein signing FISA warrants against Trump, and you got as the number two at Justice. That wasn't Jeff Sessions. That was Rod Rosenstein, who was appointed by Trump. And then the U.S. attorney was appointed by Trump. So he has to appoint a U.S. attorney who is going from somewhere else, who's going to come in and actually prosecute the laws equally and fairly, regardless of political party.
Boy, are there any people that can do that anymore in Washington, D.C.? Really?
No, that's why I say it has to be from outside Washington.
It has to be outside. Okay.
You have to bring a U.S. attorney in from somewhere else in the system, or from outside, a prosecutor, a DA or something from outside, who you bring in to be the U.S. attorney in D.C., and you have to transfer out the existing staff and get and put in new investigative staff and everything, because although some of the staff, I mean, a lot of these guys are just prosecutors. I mean, I know one guy, just a prosecutor, he's there, he's totally apolitical. But it's a but by and large, you know, there you have to get the lead dog and head of that office willing to prosecute the Democrats and enforce the law exactly how they enforce against Bannon and how they enforce against Navarro.
Now, I want to ask you here, Rick, you've been observing this. Do you believe that Trump has learned his lesson given what happened 2016 to 2020?
I think he's learned his personnel lesson.
OK, that's good.
I think we'll learn a lot. I think we'll learn a lot by who he chooses to pick as his vice president. And I have no idea what's going to happen there. But what I do know is, in terms of Office of Presidential Personnel, he's going to have somebody who is a Trump loyalist, probably the guy who spent the last year of his first term doing it. And as a result, it's going to be a much different personnel pool that's going to be being the politicals in the various agencies for Trump. And you know, if the criteria in the first administration for the first 3 years was, if you supported Trump, we're not going to hire you. That was literally the criteria. It was used against you. Mm. You know, people said, oh, well, I gave money to Trump and I wrote a book supporting him and blah, blah, blah. And they said, well, that's a disqualifier. And for people who are fully and totally qualified for the jobs they're applying for. So we know that. That's what happened. It won't happen the second time.
All right. So speaking of the VP, I know we don't know. We don't know what he's thinking at this point. But in your opinion, I noticed that on a lot of blogs, J.D. Vance gets mentioned a lot. Do you think he would be a helpful vice president, given the needs of a second Trump administration and the challenges? What might be the strength or weaknesses of that kind of an appointment? You know?
J.D. Vance is, he wouldn't be my first choice.
He wouldn't be? Okay. I just noticed that's a name that is just repeated.
I wouldn't
again
oppose
and again.
It if he was, but mm-hmm. He's been in politics for about 40 seconds. Mm. And his knee-jerk reaction on things isn't always the best. I'll give you an example. The East Palestine train derailment. His immediate reaction was to embrace all the Democrat measures that they've been trying to put on the rail system for years, and that the Republicans were saying that's the wrong way to do it. You're going to kill our rail system. You're going to drive
the cost up. Yeah.
And so, but he immediately embraced the left wing approach, you know, over regulatory approach.
And so the agenda still moves forward, coming from the left.
Right.
Okay.
Well,
that's right.
I'm just I can only go with him based on knee jerk. On some things, his immediate reaction is good. On other things, his immediate reaction is the standard, the worst words in Washington D.C. that are ever spoken. We have to do something. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter if it's good or bad. We have to do something, when somebody's first reaction on something like that is bad, I have a hard time. That tells you what their instincts are.
Yeah, and that's what we have to watch out for. I just wanted to ask you, because that's the name that I see again and again and again being brought up, and I was thinking to myself,
I've met him. He's a good guy. Trump comes from the same kind of mold as Trump, of being outside the political system. Mm-hmm. You know, gets elected in Ohio, defeating some candidates that were more.
Yeah, but he needs but Trump needs a swampy guy who knows who's good and who's bad, essentially, right?
I think what Trump needs, truthfully, is a successor. More than anything else, he needs somebody who can be Trump in 2029.
Okay.
And because one more term of Trump, you know, you're going to barely skim the surface. And you need to have his vice president who is fully committed to the basic principles that Trump is committed to in terms of taking out the administrative state and the like, and returning power to Congress and away from the regulators. That is a those things. That's what and they have to be tough enough to stand up to everybody in Washington, D.C. J.D. Vance may be tough enough to stand up to everybody in Washington, D.C., but if his first knee-jerk reaction is to give the regulators more power,
that's a
he
problem.
Might not be the right guy.
Yeah, all right, that's a problem. All right, finally, before we take off here, though.
There are many people who fit that description.
Okay. Now then, final question I have. How do you think Trump did in the trials this week, or the trial, really?
Once again, in terms of, I don't know what's in the mind of the jury, but, you know, if the jury believes Michael Cohen and then somehow makes a jump to avoid the facts that the records that nobody within the Trump organization says Trump had anything to do with how records were categorized, which is the charge, that
That's
they
right.
were miscategorized. It's not whether he had an affair. That's not the charge. It's not whether money was transferred to Michael Cohen. It's whether or not money was in fact misallocated. And since Trump didn't designate to anybody how the money should be allocated, it's really hard to convict him for misallocating the money. Now,
this is a new this is a New York jury we're talking about, who hates him.
Probably. That's why I say it all. It really doesn't matter how he did in the courtroom. I think he did well. What matters is, are there 12 people sitting there watching it who are open-minded? Because if they are, he doesn't get convicted. But if they say, my job on this court is to convict Trump and to stop Trump from being president, if they view that as being their job, there's nothing that a defense could say that will ever stop it. And oh, by the way, the judge has not exactly been helpful in terms of his charge is all around the FEC violation. Okay, remember, you know what the judge did not allow to happen?
What?
He allowed the former head of the FEC to testify about what an FEC violation is and how it should be categorized and what the penalty for an FEC violation is.
But we're supposed to convict him on something that the jury's not allowed to know how it actually works. Okay, that makes
exactly
sense.
Exactly right.
All right, wonderful.
So that's what the judge found out. That's what the judge did.
Man, like I said, this is the craziest party I have ever seen in your introduction, okay? And I really appreciate you coming on. I hope you have a good weekend in spite of all of this and make it through the allergies in D.C. And is it okay?
I will. I've been struggling with them. I would like for people go to dailytorch.com. We've got a piece up today on some changes they're trying to make in Section 230, which will dramatically alter the internet and will make things like Free Republic, the website Free Republic from the old days, will drive that out of business.
Really?
It is a disaster. It's a bipartisan bill. It's coming out of House committee. And I believe it's going to come up next week. And then we're doing everything we can to try to get to beat some sense into some of the Republicans that discover that this really is a bad idea. So
is this almost another anti-Semitism Awareness Act on steroids kind of thing with Section 230?
Significantly worse.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, I couldn't believe that people who claim to understand and respect the Constitution and swore an oath to defend it even passed that, and now they want to make it worse. All right.
Significantly worse. One could say that is there's one big tech company that benefits that's based in Washington State. And that tech company and the chairman of the two relevant committees in the Senate and the House, one Democrat, one Republican, are both from Washington State. And this is a horrific piece of legislation that Truth Social won't survive it. Rumble won't survive it. It's incredible, the stupidity. We'll have it, if we don't have it up right now, we'll have it up by the end of the day.
Okay. Because I don't see it. I don't see it up there right now, Rick.
It hasn't been. I don't think Robert was supposed to, is writing it, so he'll get up there by noon
okay.
My time. For a statement that we put out on it yesterday that kind of synopsizes it, you can go to getliberty.org. And you can read the statement.
Will do. I will put both up there. And, Rick, thank you for the update, and we'll talk to you next week, okay?
Thank you, man.
All right.
Talk to you then. Bye.
It's a minute after 7 at KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KCMD, Grants Pass.
We have some real issues here in Southern Oregon, and when it comes to the state senator to represent us, there is only one clear choice, Christine Goodwin. Christine is a strong, vibrant, get-her-done conservative who won't leave Southern Oregon behind against those far-left Portland politicians. Matter of fact, as representative, she has the number one conservative voting record of all time by nationally recognized CPAC in the legislature among senators, representatives, and congressmen serving over 2 years. Christine helped recriminalize hard drugs, strengthen laws for our police, and even worked to help Texas in trying to close the southern border. Hey, Republicans, make sure you vote Christine Goodwin for state senate in the primary. She's a winner, and let's back a winner. This former high school teacher, small business owner, commissioner, and school board chair knows how to get it done on all levels. Sending her to Salem to battle those urban politicians is the best thing we can do. Vote Christine Goodwin for state senate. Paid for by Goodwin for Oregon, PAC ID 21708.
30 and 40 degree swings? Welcome to spring in Southern Oregon. This is Lisa from Kelly's Automotive Service in Grants Pass in Medford. As soon as the weather hits the 80 degree and above mark, our phones start ringing off the hook and people can hardly wait a day to get in. Wouldn't it be better to take care of any air conditioning issues you have before the real heat hits? Schedule your appointment now and stay cool later. Kelly's Automotive Service, where we service your vehicle, but take care of you. Kelly'sAutomotive.com.
At Father & Son Jewelry, we now have Lashberg Designs. They've revolutionized ring building.
That's right, Beck. Our customers don't have to settle for something someone else thinks is a great style. Instead, they choose the material, the design, the engraving, everything. It's their ring.
It's amazing. Choose one of 200 rings in our display case, scan the QR code into the tablet, and then watch the magic happen. So many options to customize and make it your own.
Come into Father & Son Jewelry for a demonstration.
The Row Gardener is sponsored by Grange Co-op, and if you want to go organic, hey, that's great. However,
see, organic fertilizers are not ready to use by the plant. They have to be worked on by soil bacteria to break them down into a usable form. It has to be in contact with the soil, and better if it's a couple, you know, an inch or two down.
Call the Row Gardener live Saturdays 10 to noon and catch the Sunday morning encore at 9 on 106.3 KMED and 99.3 KCMD.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. The world's top golfer arrested this morning on his way to the PGA Championship. Masters champ Scottie Scheffler facing charges of second-degree assault of a police officer, third-degree criminal mischief, reckless driving, failing to follow police direction. Police say a pedestrian was hit by a bus on the